Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is Brady and Walker. Watch it on Sportsnet 360. Hear it on sportsnet.ca/590 and Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back to the show, Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet 360. Doug McClain is coming up from Sportsnet, joining us shortly. A couple of big contracts handed out today in the NHL, both to restricted free agents. We'll tell you who they are coming up. I want to talk about the Leafs, though. So Mike Babcock, that contract's done, and Mitch Marner's been drafted, and Phil Kessel has been traded. That's all done. The focus shifts a little bit to what happens next year. So this is the name I'm hearing already from Leaf fans that I'm not interested in hearing about anymore. Auston Matthews. And when I picture some Leaf fans saying his name, I picture a Leafs jersey with like Bambi eyes and fluttering eyelashes. You people, the grass is always greener, isn't it? Listen, he's a kid from Arizona, a kid you've never seen play, a kid I've never seen play. He's still a year away from being drafted. Yeah, the Leafs are rebuilding. And I think many people still don't understand. Rebuilding doesn't automatically mean, oh God, I hope we finish last. You know what the Leafs need? They need cap space, they need development. And actually, something resembling a hockey team next year. Auston Matthews, stop it. Stop acting like you've yearned over that name for a generation. You don't even know what hand he shoots with. Here's a dose of reality. You know who is primed to go number one a year or two before their actual draft day? Angelo Esposito. I'll do you one better. You know who is the top-rated draft prospect in his draft class a year before draft? Hell, months before draft day. Phil Kessel. Yes, that slick sniper who just got carted out of town and then ripped to shreds for eating hot dogs. The only thing missing from his exodus last week was a nun with a bell yelling, shame, shame, as he got carted out of town. So, yeah, cheer for the rebuild. Pray that your team does things the right way, finally. But I don't want to hear the name Auston Matthews until it's actually relevant.
This is Brady and Walker. Watch it on Sportsnet 360. Hear it on sportsnet.ca/590. And Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Our 3 o'clock hour, Brady and Walker, just Walker. No Brady. That's why Doug McClain joins us now, I'm told. Don't forget, our Friday mailbag, as it does every week, is coming up after 3:30. Give us a tweet, at Brady and Walker, and ask us any question. Sports, non-sports, your call. Good afternoon, Mac. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Hey, there's no Brady, and it's a Friday. It's just living the dream.
Could it be any better for you? Collins is gone. Brady's gone. I mean, really?
I just get to sit here and give opinions, and no one's yelling at me that I'm wrong. It's just terrific.
You're like Shanny.
Yeah, exactly. Oh no, he's got three guys in there as well. I haven't heard your take on the Kessel trade yet, and we've talked about it ad nauseum, but I want to hear it from the horse's mouth. What did you think?
Well, you know, it was an important trade for them because, you know, obviously they said they were going to do it, so they do it. They make a move, and he's the key piece that they have to move. He's the number one asset they have to move to get assets back to start this rebuild. So you'd say, well, how did they do? Well, the first round pick is a must, and they got that. The secondary pick is also a plus, and they got that. Kapanen, I'm not sure. You know, I get mixed vibes on him. I hear he's a talent. You know, people don't know whether he's going to be tough enough to play in the league, but who knows whether he certainly has a skill. So he's still an if for me. And Harrington is, you know, everybody's telling me he's at best a 5-6 guy. So, you know, that would indicate that you've got some ifs there, but the ifs could turn out to be good if they do a good job, you know, selecting the players in the draft and turning these guys into players. So, you know, it has potential to be a pretty good trade for them if.
Yeah.
From Pittsburgh's side, I thought it was a good move. I don't know how they survived long term with three big contracts like that, does that mean Malkin eventually is moved for some pieces? Probably, maybe. Surviving long term with those big dollar contracts is not easy for any team, so that'll be a challenge. But I think right now the timing is good for them with Sid and Malkin moving into their prime to try and do this. I think I've said since day one, I didn't think Kessel was a foundation guy. I still don't. I think he's a support guy. I think he's a terrific scorer and a support secondary type of guy that needs big people with him, and you can't build around him unless you get bigger pieces. And that's what he is right now. He's in a perfect situation for him. So now we'll see. I suspect he flourishes there.
Was this not the impression, though, at the end of it? Because you summed up the Pittsburgh side nicely, where you say, yeah, there's an if, and there's another draft pick coming up next year, and I don't know, we'll see. There's a bunch of young guys that are okay there, maybe just okay. I don't, like, if you put someone in the Leafs management hand on the Bible up, under oath, I don't think they would tell you, oh, this was an unbelievable deal. Did we underestimate? I know I underestimated. This deal ended up being less about the return and more of that guy has to go no matter what, and he has to go right now.
But that's stupidity, you know, if that guy has to go, because that guy is your biggest return. You're gonna have to pay people. They had to pay, and by the way, they paid a $4 million signing bonus the other day to move him, and they also pay $1.25 million a year. So, you know, so you're never happy about that. So moving forward, I guarantee you they're going to have to do that with Dion, and I guarantee you they're going to have to do that with Lupo to move them. So just to say no matter what we got him out of here is stupidity. You got to get something for him. He's your best asset. He's what is he, the third leading scorer in the last 6 or 7 years
right.
in the NHL?
But they're obviously comfortable, though, with a guy like Dion Phaneuf wearing the jersey next year. They weren't comfortable with Phil Kessel doing that.
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say they're having it's just more challenging to make a hockey deal with Dion. I really believe that. I don't know if there's a comfort level there. I mean, I don't think they're very comfortable having Lupo wear a jersey, and I really don't know if they're comfortable having Bozak wearing a jersey. So, you know, I don't know that he differs from the other guys, except he was the movable asset that you could make a so-called hockey deal off of. The other ones will be much more challenging for me. And, you know, when you move your best asset and that's what you get, and then you look at what they signed, and I'm thinking, did they even get an NHL regular? Of all the guys they've signed so far, have they even signed one NHL regular player? Arcabello sure isn't
on,
one.
On free eight? Well, I mean, Parenteau will play in their top six and they'll flip him, right?
Yeah, and I'm not a Parenteau fan at all, and I'm not a Winnick fan at all. Well, Winnick was a disaster in Pittsburgh, and I mean, he's okay, but I just don't like anything they did on trade deadline day other than the Kessel deal, and that was the biggest one to move, and they did, you know, they did fine on that as long as the ifs turn out.
So there's, you look at their prospects right now, and this is not a scientific list, but their best five prospects are Connor Brown, Mitch Marner, Kapanen, Nylander, and Leipzig, and maybe it's debatable, but there's not a 6-footer in there. Is this kind of the new wave? We've seen what Calgary has done in Tampa Bay, or do you look at that list and go, oh boy, it's a little bit too much of one thing?
Yeah, it's not what Calgary did, or it's not what Tampa did. They've got a sprinkling of that, but you've got Monahan, that's a big power center. You got Bennett, who's going to be a top center. You know, you've got Brody, you've got Giordano.
Sure, Calgary may be a bad example.
I mean,
but
it's not even close. I mean, for me, and you've got, you know, you've got Stamkos, and you've got a Hedman who's 6'4", and you've got Bishop in goal, who's 6'4", and you've got Stroman, and you. I mean,
We've seen small players have success. That's my point.
Yeah, Johnson.
Right.
You know, Palat's not a small player.
No.
He's a big. He's not very tall, but he's a big guy. Kucherov's not small. So yeah, they've got the other teams have the odd little guy that are real good players. They got Goodrow's a little guy who's a good player. Hudler's a smaller guy that's a real good player. You know, and they got Johnson. So, but their top three players are not all under 6 foot. To me, you got three guys that are really talented in Nylander, hopefully Kapanen. you know, and Marner, three small guys that are real talent. That's good to have. Now they got to find seven big guys to play with them. That's not easy.
Right.
Especially when, you know, you look at the best teams in the NHL and where's their strength? Well, it's Getzlaf, Perry. It's going to be Monahan down the road. It's going to be Bennett down the road. It's going to be Taves and Kane. It's those big, it's the big power guys that really put you there with the talent. So they're starting. That's where they are. They're starting the rebuild, and that's what they had said they were going to do. So good for them.
Doug McLean, our guest, Brady Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, at Sportsnet 360. So we had a couple of signings today, and it's funny because July 1st, there was almost this sense of normalcy. Like even Matt Beleski, it wasn't a huge reach for the Boston Bruins. I think they got him at 3.8. But today, Ryan O'Reilly just signs a 7-year deal worth $7.5 million a year in Buffalo. Brandon Saad in Columbus, six times six. The O'Reilly deal especially, does it jump out at you?
This guy continually get these contracts. Like, I mean, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I mean, I didn't you knew what happened in Colorado
with the offer sheet. Yeah.
The foolishness of that offer sheet, you know, which was pure lunacy. And then this today is again, I mean, I don't know what he's done to deserve anywhere close to this money. I don't get it. I mean, at least Saad has won a couple of cups, and he's a big guy that's got a chance. Although he's played with Taves and Osa his whole career, we don't know what he really is yet either, you know. And then when he drops to the second line, he's with real good players too. So, you know, we'll see what he becomes. I mean, a guy gets 22 goals playing with Taves, and he gets $6 million . O'Reilly, I can't figure him out for the life of me. I think he's a real good second line player. Our second line player, $7 million now.
This is the tricky one with me because I like O'Reilly too. But if you're Buffalo, your full plan here, and I'm not a big Sam Reinhart guy, but your full plan is to have Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhart as your 1-2 in a couple of years, and after a couple of years of insulation, there's Ryan O'Reilly as your third line center. And now you're paying him $7.5 million. I mean, you can just see the end of the tunnel here.
And then you had to sign his brother besides.
Whose brother?
Ryan O'Reilly's brother. They just signed him the other day, didn't they?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'll take your word for it.
So it's really costing $8.5 million.
Yeah, sure.
Look, I don't get this one.
Who, Cal?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So now we. Like, I think he's a good number second line guy all the way around. And, you know, I don't know how many points he's put up, but what's the most he's ever had for points? And, you know, I mean, I it just blows me away. I mean, the lunacy of that offer sheet started all this where he was way overpaid, and he continues to be way overpaid. So, you know, I mean, if he becomes a front line guy, front center guy, number one guy, then that's good. He sure as hell doesn't deserve it right now.
Martin St. Louis calls it a career. Is he a slam dunk Hall of Famer for you?
I think he probably is. Yeah, I think he is. I think he's really paved the way for a lot of guys. He overcame a ton of obstacles. He became a star in the NHL, a superstar in the NHL. And a guy that was never drafted and, you know, just had to do whatever it took to find a way to win. I compared to a lot of guys in the Hall of Fame, to me, yeah, he should be. And I applaud him for stepping away right now at this stage. I think it was time. I think it was going to go quickly the other way for him if he didn't. And I think he's sure he is, yeah. Stanley Cup, for whatever that means. We keep a lot of guys out because of that. Art Ross, I think he's in.
Yeah, I would agree with you, it's almost more of when he got his first break, when he got his start,
I was a GM then and in the league then, and you know, I remember our scouts talking about him nonstop, about this kid at Vermont, college guy, give him a chance. And, you know, I remember Paul Castron continually talking about him. the chief amateur scout in Columbus today talking about him. I mean, you know, we had a ton of conversation about the guy, and people gave him a break, and he proved a lot of people wrong.
Well, and so take me one step further. So he goes to Calgary, up and down, scores a few goals up, and then eventually goes to Tampa. So at the moment where it didn't look like he was working out for Martin St. Louis in Calgary, he could play, but yeah. I don't know who thought he was a top sixer. What were you thinking about that guy then, or was he even on the radar then?
You know what? He was sort of a fringe guy. You would be thinking him as a bubble guy that, you know, maybe he'll make it and maybe he won't, you know? And then it just completely took off. And you talk about how important conditioning can be for certain athletes. This guy, if there was a better conditioned athlete for the most part of his career, I don't know who it was. Brad Richards credits him for, you know, helping him when he was down and out, when he spent a summer working out with him. You know, he's become a conditioning machine. His lower body strength is Sidney Crosby-esque, the way, you know, from the waist down, the absolute pure strength he has. And then you throw the skill with it. Everybody always knew he was skilled. And then he was coming in at a time where it wasn't the trend. He bucked the trend of going small when it was that clutch and grab. Let's not forget, he played a bulk of his career in that clutch and grab, ugly hockey period. And he was terrific at that tough time.
So he wins the cup in 04, the year Calgary makes it. And sometimes they'll show those games on whatever, NHL Network or whatever. It was such ugly hockey. And it changed after the lockout. But 04, stylistically, boy, you cringe watching it. And that's what makes him the most amazing boy, he's winning his Stanley Cup. And Brad Richards was right alongside him, of course. But he's winning his cup in the toughest era to do it for a guy like that.
Yeah, it was a tough era. And I go back and I watch those classics in the, you know, the late 90s and the 2000s. I kind of liked the hockey. I thought it was wide open. They let us play. There was no penalties. It was just, you know, do whatever you had to do.
Oh, in 04, you had Brett Werner tackling guys. Like, come on.
Yeah, you guys call it ugly. I call it hockey. But no, he to me, he's a Hall of Famer, and I felt for him this year, especially at playoff time. I mean, he was really having a tough time. I mean, I was saying it most nights on TV, get him away from this guy. Get him away from that guy. There's no chemistry. It's not happening for him. Last year, he had a great playoff, you know, and he's stepping away at 40, where he's still a real good player. You talk about Saad getting $6 million for his 22 goals, and Ryan O'Reilly, how many goals did he have this year?
Seven, I think. No.
Marty had 22 this year, yeah. Didn't he?
He had, well, I mean, Marty had 52 points. He could have, in a year that nobody scored, he could have got a deal.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're saying, I mean, he's stepping away, really, where the guy is still a contributor. Like, if you're a general manager in the NHL today and you're sitting there saying, hey, you know, if this guy becomes a 50-point guy, we're pretty excited. 50 points today means you're a pretty – 50 points is a bit of a secondary milestone now, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And yet he got that this year, and he's walking away. I applaud him for that. And he knows it's time. It's probably tough. You know, he's been banged up a lot, and yet he's been a durable, durable workhorse. He's very seldom hurt. And I suspect he probably was in the playoffs this year.
Matt Bielski had 10 assists this year, and he was on every like Canadian Tire wish list for, you know,
seriously,
come Christmas time for every GM. Doug McClain joins us, Brady and Walker. I got one more for you. But we're going to take phone calls as well. 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, after Doug, if you guys want to talk Leafs, with me, and we'll talk a little bit about what next season looks like. So who was in your mind, I mean, tough to exactly peg winner or loser, but who did make an impression July 1st and otherwise? I said off the top, I mean, with Justin Williams and TJ Oshie, I really like where the Caps were when they ended the season. I like what they did moving forward. Do they stand out to you? Anybody else?
You know what? I'd like to say Edmonton getting Sekera and Letesto. But I hesitate to say that. Sekera, I'm not really a fan of. I think at 6.6 at 6 years is absolute foolishness. He was not very good in L.A. when he went there. I just don't know if he's going to be. I think he's a pretty good player, but he's not anywhere close to being worth what they paid him. But they got him on their back end, so that's a plus. Letestu is a real solid two-way guy, so you've got to say they did all right. I love the Hamilton Frolik is a real positive move for Calgary.
Sure.
You know, I like, you know, with Boston, I know they started off in horrendous shape, but they recovered with Bolesky at 3.7 or 3.8. I don't mind that price. I think he's he's not anywhere close to Lucic. Don't get me wrong, but he replaces Lucic's goals, and he's also a guy that can hurt people when he hits. So I liked it at that money, at those dollars for him. So I didn't mind their recovery. They got Sean Corrali, who was one of the best college players in the country for me, who's going to be a 6'3", 220-pound centerman that they'll get from San Jose. They got another first. So I thought they recovered after a disastrous start. Nobody else, you know, really. I mean, I liked Williams for Washington. I thought that you're right on that. The two they picked up with Oshinem, I thought it was fine. Is there anybody else that really did much? I mean, Montreal, I mean, no. I mean, really, you know, to pick up the cat. I mean, at the end of the day, you're going home in your car and you say, well, I got Cassian today on July 1st. Yeah. Wouldn't you almost hit the guardrail? Like, what? Seriously.
What do you think Cody Franzen gets? Four at four?
If the way the trend is right now, if you're smart, you pay him in the four range.
Right.
That to me, he's not worth any more than that. I mean, he was fine. He was not very good before. He was fine with Toronto, and he was right back to, you know, struggling in Nashville. I know it was because he was on the wrong side and wasn't a fit, but still, he's not worth any more than four.
Right. Hey,
now, Ward was a good signing. I would have loved to have seen an Ottawa or somebody get a Ward. You know, I think he's just one of those real good, valuable secondary type guys. So Vancouver did okay with him. But then they let Bieksa go for second round picks. I'm thinking, what is going on? So you're just back to even, you know?
Hey, Mac, thanks for making time. Great job this season, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care, Bart.
Doug McClain, Sportsnet hockey analyst. So, yeah, I want to talk, Lisa. I want to get your opinion as well. As we move forward, And again, so Mac is talking about Winnick and Parenteau and boy, in comes Arcabello. Yeah, of course. They're not frontline guys. They're being there to be flipped at the deadline. Give them some ice, let them get some points, and then trade them for picks. This is the reality of where the Toronto Maple Leafs are. You want cap space, and you want development, and you want guys to play okay so you can trade them for more return. This is the reality for a couple of years. But I do think, and give us a call, 416-870-0590. I do think there's a little bit of an overblown type of perception here that a rebuild means I hope we finish last. I hope we finish last. I still inherently disagree with that. And I know the Oilers did it. They've got some good players because of it. But they had a really difficult time getting out of that cycle. And they're still in that cycle. As much as, hey, we're cutting away to watch Connor McDavid practice today on Sportsnet 360. You know, that went well. I love Connor McDavid. They're eventually going to be okay. They took a long time to get out of that cycle. And they're still not exactly out of it. They just picked first overall again. Does it take another year? I'm not sure. Once you really commit to losing, it can be tough. It can be tough to eventually win. The Buffalo Sabres seem to have done it okay. Two really, really bad years, and they're rewarded with the right guy in Jack Eichel, at least the guy that we all think is going to be the right guy. But it might be a rude awakening there, right? Like right now, we had Matthew Barnaby on the show. He says Sabres fans think the Sabres are making the playoffs. I don't know. I like Eichel as much as the next guy. I'm not a big Reinhardt guy. You just gave O'Reilly $7.5 million. You need a lot more. And just when you think you're getting out of it, you're not. I think cap space is huge, but I think developing the guys you have, and I'm talking Nylander, I'm talking Riley, I'm talking Kapanen, and maybe Connor Brown. We'll see, you know, who you have in the system. Putting these guys alongside some not great veterans, but veterans who can – they can take the slings and the arrows and they can take the abuse. And when the losses are piling up in the loss column, you're not going to implode like we saw the Leafs do last season. Brad in St. Catharines, what are your expectations for this Leafs club next year? Like, are you the guy yelling Austin Matthews without ever seeing him play?
No, I'm not yelling anything because I really think that the Leafs did improve for sure. They improved because of one thing. They got rid of a guy that didn't want to be on the Leafs uniform, and that's Mr. Kessel. I think he's in a much better place where he is. Will he fit in Pittsburgh? Probably yes. He gets 30 goals, but he's on for 40 goals against. So he's a great player. He's a great hustler, but he looks like he doesn't want to be on that team anymore. And to be moved, I think, was the best for the Leafs. Personally, I think it's great. Were they winners getting rid of Kessel? Absolutely, they won that deal. My team, I don't want to say it too loud, I'm a Bruin fan, so we kind of, I don't know if we're...
Yeah,
we're
good luck with that.
For the sake of stockpiling, but I'll tell you right now, everybody's saying we're the big losers. But when you think about it, the picks, and the salary cap, we're still stuck on the salary cap, but for the situation with the Leafs getting back with the Leafs, I'll tell you right now, if we get rid of a guy that doesn't want to be on the team, that's a great move by them. He will improve Pittsburgh, maybe a second or a third line centerman for sure, or a winger. Yeah, I think they won that trade by getting rid of Kessel. We have a lot of work left to do in Boston. That's a great gutsy move for Sweeney. Oof, for a while.
Well, they're thanks for the call. They're gutsy. I don't know how good all of them are yet. I like some. I didn't like others. We'll go to Jake in Newmarket. Your expectations next season. What train are you on board right now?
Well, my idea is we got a legit number one goalie there in Bernier.
Okay, that's a good thing.
Not really. But, not in my opinion. If we see how Buffalo managed to, I believe we should try to get rid of Bernier and start Reimer 80% of the games to bring in some other young kid for a backup tender. That's another asset that we have. That this team, let's be honest, this team's not going to be going anywhere for at least 3 years.
Right. Yeah. No, I would agree with that.
And I'm not sure what Bernier's contract is, but he's an asset. Let's get rid of him.
Right. It helps if he plays well next season, I guess. But here's the thing. Be careful wanting to be Buffalo. That's my thing, right? Like right now, oh, it's great being a Sabres fan because there's Evander Kane and there's, boy, Jack Eichel, and everyone says he's going to be good. And Ryan O'Reilly is a new contract. This is great. We got Robin Lehner from the Ottawa Senators. It's all coming together until you're terrible again next season and wondering why you're not any good. You know what the Buffalo Sabres accomplished last year? They were a lousy hockey team, right? They were lousy. Like, people are patting Tim Murray on the back for what? For assembling the worst team in the National Hockey League? The Leafs aren't going to be good, and there's nothing they can do to change that. But at the same time, to say, I want you to be bad so you can get this kid maybe that I've never heard of, what if he's Nail Yakupov, right? I'm more concerned with the guys they have in the system right now. If you're a believer in Nylander and Kapanen and Morgan Riley and Mitch Marner, whatever it takes for those guys to develop, and just throw caution to the wind, 30th place, I'm not sure if that's always the best idea. We'll take another one. Eric in Toronto.
Yeah, hey there. Truthfully, I wouldn't mind having our team tank and become the 30th place team and get another good draft pick. But I just don't think that's an option now that we picked up Mike Babcock. I really think that, I would be very surprised if he's going to allow a team to sort of be a bottom feeder. Do I think they're going to make the playoffs? No, probably not for a couple of years, but Mike Babcock's going to keep them in the hunt.
The product that they're going to put on the ice next season, and we've already seen evidence of this, is not going to be great. Right, Phil Kessel is out the door. They got no roster players coming back. Scott Harrington will probably play some minutes for this team next year. They're going to be young. You might see a couple of guys go out elsewhere. But when that group, and we fought this all year with this anti-tank stuff. When that group, now whoever it is, JVR and Daniel Winnick and Nazem Kadri, I think it's a big year for Kadri. When they go on the ice, they're going on the ice to win. And they got a good coach there to help him out. And to me, as long as your club works hard, and as long as the young players are getting time, no matter what league they play in, whether it's the AHL, the OHL, or the NHL, I don't think you got to finish 30th. And if you're going to be gritty enough and gutty enough to win some games and finish, I don't know, 24th, 23rd, I'm okay with that. In fact, I watched the Oilers up close, and to see a group working hard sometimes and just nothing you could do could get you out of 30th and 29th, that's depressing. And that hurts a guy like Morgan Riley. I'm convinced of it. 3:30, we'll talk to the newest number one goaltender in the National Hockey League. He is Martin Jones. He was on the move to Boston. Now he's on the move to San Jose. We'll ask what he feels about being back in the Pacific Division. Also, get your texts and your emails and your tweets in. Brady Walker's mailbag hits in about 15 minutes as well. You're listening and watching to Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Back to Brady and Walker on TV at Sportsnet 360, online at sportsnet.ca/590, and on your radio at Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back, Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Our Friday mailbag is coming up shortly on Sportsnet 360. Thank you for the country music, Lance Kennedy. Happy Stampede to everyone stampeding in Calgary. The parade was today. The Stampede Parade. And here I am working alone because Greg Brady decided to take holidays. If you didn't hear it, we will replay the Anthony Ghost interview coming up. Burn that. Fire that interview into the sun. It was not very good. Martin Jones is the newest number one goalie. I feel safe for calling him that. For the San Jose Sharks, moved a couple of times in the last week. First to the Boston Bruins from the LA Kings, where he won a Stanley Cup alongside Jonathan Quick. And now he is back in the division with the San Jose Sharks. Good afternoon, Martin. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for taking time out today. I guess tell me what the last week was like for you. You find out you've been traded in the deal for Milan Lucic to the Boston Bruins. Did you ever get comfortable with that idea, or were you told that we're looking to move you again?
I didn't know anything for sure. I knew it was a definite possibility that I could be getting moved again, but I didn't know anything for sure, so... it was exciting when I heard the news, and I'm fired up to be a Shark.
Were you in a situation where you just were going to sit around and wait, or did you kind of say to yourself, "Boy, I better get up and get to Boston"?
No, I don't think anything really changed for me. My plan was just to stay in Vancouver this summer and keep training and prepare for the season wherever I was going to end up. So obviously, there's a little uncertainty there for a bit, but. Everything stays the same for me in terms of summer.
Martin Jones, our guest, the new San Jose Sharks goaltender. It's interesting because, I would wonder if we really asked the Kings and Dean Lombardi if they would have anticipated you coming right back into the same division to play them next season. Is this a good thing for you? Is familiarity in California a good thing when you're talking about facing your former team?
It's gonna be a pretty fun experience to go back there, especially as my first game as a Shark. So that's gonna be a special game for sure, and those are the fun ones to play in. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Martin Jones, our guest. We went through the same thing, I think, here in Toronto with Jonathan Bernier, because there's Jonathan Quick. He's one of the best goaltenders in the game. You played behind him for a couple of years, and so there was Jonathan Bernier sitting there, and it's always tough to exactly figure out. What a guy is, and you found yourself in that same situation. You obviously believe in yourself, but how difficult is it being a young goaltender behind a guy that you know is going to be there for a lot of years?
It is tough not playing games, and sometimes you got to sit on a bad game for a few weeks, and it's tough at times. So it was to play games, play as many as you can. And so I'm looking forward to taking on a little more responsibility in San Jose and pushing more games.
Did a contract get done pretty quick for you? What was it like dealing with Doug Wilson, and what has he said to you in terms of what they expect?
Well, just expressed they're excited to have me, and that they want me to push for number one spot. So I'm still going into camp, trying to earn every game that I get, and hopefully get to play a little bit more next year.
You've seen a lot of San Jose from the ice and from the bench as well. They always have such a great lineup. They've never been quite able to get over the hump. Obviously, you guys had the epic comeback on them in the playoffs a couple of years ago. When you look over there and see the Thorntons and the Marlowes and the Couturers, the Pavelskis, why couldn't they ever quite get that job done? Do you have any insight into that?
No, I think you're probably better off asking the guys, group of guys that were there. They, like you said, they do have a great lineup, and I think we all believe that we can be a contender. So I'm looking forward to trying to go for a good long playoff push there, and then we're playing for a Stanley Cup.
You look like you're going to get a chance to be a number one guy. Did it feel like a long wait?
At times, I guess. Definitely when you're going long stretches without playing, it feels like a long time. But I'm definitely excited to play. That's the goal at the end of the day. So I'm very excited.
Martin Jones, our guest, brand new San Jose Sharks goaltender. Hey, great to get your insight on this. For sure wanted to pick your brain a little bit. It's going to be a fun season with you facing your old team. So good luck this year, and we'll be watching.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Hey, that is Martin Jones, a new goaltender at the San Jose Sharks, signed a 3-year deal worth $3 million per season. Out of all that glut of goaltenders, and it was a weird year, right? I mean, you see Antti Niemi land in Dallas. But then there's the group of Robin Lehner, who goes to Buffalo. Martin Jones ends up going to Boston and then back to San Jose. We saw Cam Talbot go for 3 picks to Edmonton. Talbot's probably the highest touted there. I don't know what to think of him. I kind of want to watch him get the ball and run with it a little more. He did an admirable job filling in for Henrik Lundqvist. To me, Martin Jones was my guy. He went for, at the end of it, he went for a little more of a price with the prospect and 16th overall, or a first-round pick next year, from the Boston Bruins. But he would have been the guy I would have paid for. And if you are, and we'll see, I don't know, maybe Lehner's a bust in Buffalo. Maybe he is, maybe he's not. Maybe Cam Talbot, with 1 year left in his deal, isn't the guy that Edmonton's been searching for years and years. Martin Jones is going to be that guy. I have a good feeling. But then again, I also called Columbus to win the Eastern Conference next year. So I'm an idiot. It is Friday. That means it's time for Friday's Brady and Walker mailbag. So usually Greg and I, who's off today, all off of all of next week as well, he's camping or something, I'm not sure. We take your questions both on Twitter and email, and we get some texts, and we get actual letters, like postmark letters as well. We do our best to answer them. Sports, non-sports, whatever. You want to know something about me? I feel I represent a lot of people born in the early 80s. I don't really know how to send a letter. Like, even if this was a real mailbag segment, I'm actually not sure how to physically send a letter. I mean, I've done it before, but I don't, like, where the stamp goes and where you put your address and the other guy's address and where do you go to mail it? I don't know. I honestly don't. So here's the first question today. This one from Incognito Penguin. If that's your real name, who would survive the longest if they were on Survivor? Brady or I? I'd like to say, okay, on Brady's side, he is very cunning. We'll say that. He is cunning. But he's exhausting. In a social setting, Brady would be the star. This is how it would go down. He would be the star of the first episode. Everyone would be calling, talking about Greg Brady on that first episode of Survivor. And then by episode 3, he'd be voted off, like, unanimously. Not saying I'm great, but I'd last longer than he would. This one from Stuart at Fan590 Walker. Friday mailbag. Do you golf? If so, how well? I do love to golf. I don't golf nearly as much as I used to. I would like to golf more, and you know how it is. When you golf, the more you golf, the better you are. A couple summers ago when I golfed a lot, I had my handicap down to 10. So that's about how good I had my own battle with 79 each and every. Now, if I went like today, you and I went, I would want to break 90. That's how good a golf I am. Greg in Toronto, say two nice things about Greg Brady. This could. How much time do we have? How much time do I have to think? No, Greg is a good dad. He's a good dad. Good dad to his kids. And he's a good dad, and Greg knows a lot about tennis. So there you go. This one from Jeff Johnson. What are you looking forward to at the Pan Am Games? I enjoy ski cross the most. Bill Hamilton. He's in Calgary. The Calgary Stampede is on Sportsnet. Over under, you watch 2.5 hours. Definitely over. Not per day, but for the entire thing. Because there's different aspects to, like, the rodeo. There's the rodeo. So there's, like, the bull riding and the barrel racing and all that kind of. But then there's the chuck wagons. Now, the chuck wagons are the highlight of Stampede. And there's a bunch of heats. They go every night. And then the final day is the $50,000 dash for cash. And they come thundering around the infield. And you're in the stands. And you got your hat on. And you're drinking beers. And you're betting everyone next to you on the certain chuck wagons. It's a great time. So, yes, over 2.5 hours. But I don't have much of a social life either. This one's from Brad. Who's your Hollywood crush? It used to be Jennifer Aniston, like a lot of guys. But I think, I almost think, like, you have to move on from that now. You know who I like? You know who I like that not a lot of people like? Is Kristen Stewart, the miserable-looking girl from Twilight. I like her. I don't know why. I just do. I like that frowny, miserable face. I'm not a creep. No. That's my Hollywood crush. No, she's not 14. She's like 30. Although I heard she was dating a lady now. That's what I heard. Anyway. This one from Jake. Who would you cut away to see practice? See, earlier on in the show, not on the radio side, but on the TV side, Sportsnet 360, the fine folks at Sportsnet decided to take me off TV to go live to Connor McDavid practicing today, like skating around in Edmonton, like doing drills and hopping around. I've never felt worse as a broadcaster. Who would I cut away to see practice? I would cut away to see Giancarlo Stanton take batting practice. I would cut away to watch him mash 600-foot bombs. I would do that. This one from Nathan. We have time for a couple more. Brady Walker Friday mailbag. Nathan tweets it. He says, 80s music or non-Canadian soccer? 80s music, definitely. Because there's two types of 80s music. There's the Greg Brady 80s music, like with synthesizers. Awful, awful. Like Men Without Hats, Kenny Loggins, terrible. And then there's like the hair metal 80s, right? I can deal with that. My first car was a Camaro. I can deal with that. Non-Canadian soccer, no thanks. And this one to both of us at Fan590 Walker, at Brady and Walker. When are you planning on seeing Magic Mike XXL, tonight or tomorrow? Well, if you give me two choices, tonight as opposed to tomorrow. No, I don't know if I'll see it. One more. What kind of music do you listen to when you work out? This one from Patrick Flynn. Country. All country all the time. There you go. Thanks for listening and watching. Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Sportsnet 360, Jays and Tigers tonight from Comerica. Friday mailbag goes every Friday. You can send in tweets all week. We'll talk to you Monday.